It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, July 7th, 2020, and you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 147 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest gaming podcast, also up for a podcast award. I am joined by my friend, my comrade in gaming commentary, the Miggity 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 Mac, also known as Maction. Mac, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I am really excited about the podcast awards, man. I'm still kind of on cloud nine, you know?
I'm excited too, man. Go out there and vote, people, just like you'd vote for anything else. Exercise and do your civic duty. Vote for Two Nerds in a Pod.
Absolutely. You mind if I give a quick rundown as we get started?
Please do, man.
So you've got the month of July to vote. July 31st ends, and then the voting is done. And if your favorite podcast, Two Nerds in a Pod, happens to be in the top 10 of gaming and hobbies, then we are submitted for the final panel decision, which takes place over the next month or so. And then at the end of that, they figure who's going to be the top in, you know, whatever category. Either way, it's, you know, it is an honor just to be nominated, but it would be even more of an honor to actually win this thing. So yeah, share things. We recorded, we did a short intro episode, so if there were ever a time to share, it's a brief 3-minute thing, share it with folk and get them on board with voting for us. That would be the thing to do. So, you know, do it. Be awesome. You know how it goes. But aside from that, I mean, dude, that's like my life right now, as there's not much else going on in my life aside from podcasting and internet and things like that. And this whole thing has just been a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully we win. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mac, how was your 4th of July, man? Did you do anything? Did you work that day? What was it like for you?
I worked that day. It was busy. It was crazy. Traffic was backed up. You know me. I live in rural Nebraska now these days. That didn't stop, I want to say, 100,000 people from Denver fleeing their city and coming to this particular area. Traffic was backed up for ages. Fireworks were not permitted, but yet people were launching them. Oh, anyway.
You sound like an old man. You sound like an old man, Mac.
Yep. Get off my lawn. That's who I am now.
Now, I remember a few years ago when we were living in the same town, going to your place with you and the missus and me and my wife, and I think, I don't remember how many kids we had at the time, one or two kids, and watching fireworks. And you were enjoying it. You were like, you know what? This is fun. And now I hear you complaining about fireworks like they're some type of nuisance. Who are you and what have you become? What's wrong with you?
It's not
so much. What is wrong with you?
It's not so much a problem with the fireworks, it's just the fireworks were not permitted, but everybody was launching them off anyway, and I'm just like, come on, guys. And a couple of days before the 4th of July, somebody lit the hill right next to me, and I say hill, but that's a very loose term, but somebody lit the hill next to me on fire with fireworks, just a couple days before the 4th of July. So I'm like hyper aware of fire and fireworks, you know, operating word of the fireworks being the fire part. So yeah, I'm just too close for comfort. That's who I am now. I'm the man who's had a brush with death.
I understand. Well, I don't think I can top that. I haven't had a brush with death. So Mac, on that note, I say we do what we do best and hop right into the gaming news, man. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is episode number 147 of Two Nerds in a Pod, nerdiest gaming podcast that is nominated for a podcast award. Go and vote. Let's start with a story that is right up Mac's alley. This is on GameSpot.com by Eddie Mackick. 2007's Halo 3 is regarded by many Halo fans to be among the very best Halo games, but to date it's only ever been available on console. Wait for it, Mac. Wait for it. That's changing very soon! 343 Industries has announced that Halo 3 will release on PC through the Master Chief Collection on July 14th. The game will go live at 10 a.m. Pacific time that day. Now, Mac, I know that you were just doing co-op of, was it Halo CE? that you were doing with a buddy?
Yeah, and then we went to Halo 2, and we finished that. Well, I should save that for what I've been playing. But spoilers, we finished that just this last weekend.
Now, were you aware that Halo 3 is coming?
Yes, and I am also aware that they announced that they're going to be implementing a jetpack feature in Halo 3. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Halo 3 have a jetpack?
I don't think it did. I'm pretty sure it did not. Now, I know Halo Reach had a jetpack, and I thought that that was the first Halo to have a jetpack. Correct me in the chat if I'm wrong. But yeah, they're making some upgrades, some quality of life stuff for Halo 3. Now, do you think you and your buddy will go through and do the campaign co-op on Halo 3?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to have to, you know, it's like Pokemon. We got to catch them all. So we're going to do that. And I've also, because the 14th will not have come by the time we play next, I've lined up some more games that are co-op that should be fun. But, you know, that's, but still, once the 14th and it lands, we'll definitely be giving Halo 3 a shot together.
Nice. I'm excited for you. Now, let me ask you this, and I think I already know the answer. Do you and your friend ever play any of the multiplayer stuff on Halo Master Chief Collection?
Very rarely. As a matter of fact, we did play some Blood Gulch CE multiplayer just for the fun of it, and it turns out I'm pretty decent.
See, I told you. Dude, I told you, multiplayer gaming is awesome. You're all about the co-op and single player. Dude, you just gotta find the right game, get into it, and you have a blast. I'm really happy to hear this, Mac. Well, Mac, in terms of news that is right up your alley, this next story is right up your alley as well. It's about PC gaming, and this is on GameSpot.com by Daniel Tack. Horizon Zero Dawn has found both commercial and critical successes since its debut on PlayStation 4, and now we have a date for its PC release. On August 7th, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition comes to both Steam and the Epic Game Store. Now, this made me excited when I read it, Mac, because I know that if it was coming to just the Epic Game Store, you might have some strong opinions, am I right?
Yes, yes, I would.
But it's also coming to Steam by Valve, which we all know and love. So now, if you're into this game, you can give it a shot. It says the release includes the Frozen Wilds expansion and comes with a smattering of graphical enhancements, options, and customization. So get ready to slide those setting dials to ultra. Mac, have you heard of Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah, I've heard of Horizon Zero Dawn. It's one of those kind of open-ish world things. Do you, like, ride dragons or T-Rexes or something in it?
Yep, you've got the gist of it. So it's basically an open-world RPG, action RPG. You play as Aloy. And yeah, you don't ride dragons, but basically there's robots that are kind of like dinosaur-shaped. And you're destroying these robots. Some of them you can take control over. You're using arrows, but they're like advanced arrows. You upgrade your gear, you upgrade your weapons. It's a fantastic exclusive, previously exclusive for the PlayStation 4. And let me give you my opinion on exclusives becoming multi-plat. I think it's a good thing. I think the more people that have the opportunity to experience these great games, the better for the people who made the game, number one, because they get more money, and it's better for gaming overall. I'm not bothered by an exclusive going multiplat. Would you agree with that, Mac, or you ever think that exclusive should stay exclusive?
No, I definitely agree. Exclusives being exclusive is great for the console sales, but what it's not great for is for those of us who don't want to shell out the extra however many hundreds of dollars in order to get a go at that exclusive, excellent game.
I agree 100%. And so I sincerely hope that we start to see more of these games go multiplat. You know, I feel like it was on the PlayStation 4 long enough that they got the benefit of having it exclusive and the sales that came from it, and even the console sales that may have come from it. Now, let's let everyone experience the game. PC gamers can hop in and play it in high graphics and enjoy it. So I'm hyped about this. I'm hyped that my friends like Maxion, Ish Mobile, others who are PC only, can, if they choose, enjoy this game.
Keeping in the rule of threes that, as we know, has to be followed, and the first one you said was right up my alley, the second one you said was right up my alley, this third one is so up my alley, it's scary. Did you know that Mega Man is getting a VR experience?
Dude, I may have known that, but I want to hear more about it. Tell me about it.
Thanks to an article at Game Rant written by Rob Mortimer that put this on my radar. It's called Mega Man Targeted Virtual World, and it's just going to be available in Japan, at least for now, big question mark. You use your arms to fire the Mega Buster, and, you know, it's the usual Dr. Wily, Dr. Light sort of things. Details are a little bit scarce, but it's supposed to be dropping... this article doesn't say it. I had read a different article that said it was going to be dropping before the end of summer. Hopefully we wind up getting this in the United States, but at the very least, I would thoroughly enjoy an opportunity to play it, even if it were in Japanese. I feel like once upon a time I learned enough Japanese to figure out to stay track along with Pokemon Gold and Silver, so I figure I can do it again for Mega Man, for a franchise I love. Besides, I mean, how complicated could it possibly be, you know?
Now, which Mega Man are we talking about stylistically? Now, obviously it's VR, but are we talking like NES Mega Man? Are we talking Mega Man X type game? What are we talking?
Well, we're talking about the Blue Bomber, classic Mega Man style, but judging from what I can see based on the promotional materials along with it, it's looking like it's going to be modeled after Mega Man 11.
Okay, so they went like kind of retro but kind of modern with it.
Exactly. So at least that's what I can tell from it. Who knows if that's actually how it's going to be, but those are the early indications.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to it. You know me, any excuse to talk Mega Man. But that's a news story. What's next on the list?
Well, you know what? You said rule of threes, that three of these stories are up your alley. Well, Mac, today we're breaking the rule of threes, and it's the rule of fours. This one may be up your alley, because it involves a free PC game. This is on Eurogamer.net by Tom Phillips. Ubisoft will give away Watch Dogs 2 on PC for free during this weekend's Ubisoft Forward event. Simply log into your Uplay account during the show itself. It starts on Sunday at 8 p.m. in the UK. I don't know what time that is in the US, but I believe it's 10 or 11, to nab the enjoyable San Francisco Tech ROM for free. Ubisoft's Not E3 press conference is due to spill more details, and this is exciting. This is the key of the story. More details on Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legion, which is the next Watch Dogs game, Gods and Monsters, and the newly launched Battle Royale Hyperscape. It says we're also expecting to hear details on the heavily rumored next Far Cry game, because as y'all may know, some of the voice actors who are in the game, Giancarlo Esposito and Michael Mando, talked about how they're going to be in the next Far Cry game. So we suspect that is coming. So, Mac, number one, and I'm asking you this as a friend, give me some hope.
Okay.
We're talking about Ubisoft here.
Uh-huh.
We know about four or five games that they're going to talk about at this event because they've just listed them.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance that they know that Mr. Nice Guy is sitting here at home in Illinois and he's been waiting since 2012 for another Splinter Cell entry? Do you think they know that? And do you think they're going to make me happy this weekend during the live stream?
Man, you know what, Mr. Nice Guy? I am always, always hoping for your happiness. So I'm going to say, yeah. Yeah, they do. They know about it. They know you. They see you. And they are going to take steps to ensure your happiness.
I appreciate that glimmer of hope, even though it's probably not true. I mean, if they're talking about Assassin's Creed, God and Monsters, Far Cry, I mean, unless they just want to close out with a huge bang, it almost wouldn't make sense for them to release all of those games or have them in the near future and also have Splinter Cell. Like, it seems like they would spread it out more. But, Mac, I appreciate you giving me some hope, and I really hope that we get a new Splinter Cell within the next couple of years. We'll see what happens.
Me too. Although I will say, Giancarlo, I mean, oh, dude, that man's intensity as he portrays Gus Fring in Breaking Bad, or yep. Better Call Saul as well, or even when he's portraying what's his name, Harvey Glass in Once Upon a Time.
Dude, he's also in The Mandalorian.
Yes, also in The Mandalorian. And I mean, that Darksaber of his. Ah.
He's a killer actor. He's great.
He's fantastic. And anything we can see him in, I'm excited about. So, I mean, so that makes me excited for the new Far Cry entry as well.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, let's wrap things up with two last news stories. The first is just for news purposes. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Xbox Game Showcase that is set for July 23rd. Everyone who is an Xbox fanboy or girl, or even just someone who is a fan of games, period, please tune into that. We're hoping that we get some information on the price of the new Xboxes. And also, I guess, a look at the new Halo, which, Mac, you're a Halo guy. I bet you end up caving and buying an Xbox Next Gen. You're going to play through all these campaigns with your friend on PC, and you're going to say, you know what? Now the new Halo's out. It's not on PC. I'm going to have to pick up this Xbox, and we're going to have a joyous 5 to 6 years during this next console gen. I know you are, Mac, and I'm excited for it.
I know you are, but what am I?
Lastly, I just want to go over some awesome games that are coming out this week. The first one is CrossCode, which comes out July 9th. This game looks amazing. It's an action RPG coming out for the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. It is already available on the PC, on Steam, has been out for a while. Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise, available on Switch July 10th. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2. Did you ever play the first one, Mac? Bloodstained Curse of the Moon? It's a Castlevania NES style.
Yeah, I did. I've played Curse of the Moon. I think I've gotten all the achievements for it as well. It was very enjoyable. It was fun. I liked it.
It looks good. It's on my Switch wish list. It's a game that I want to play mobile. And yeah, the second one comes out July 10th, which is Friday. And we got F1 2020, if you're into racing, coming out July 10th for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Stadia. All the Stadia homies and homegirls out there, get ready. NASCAR Heat 5, another racing game coming out to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And then lastly, Mac, and this one is huge to me, because I absolutely loved Donkey Kong Country growing up.
Oh,
and
yeah, it's good.
Literally like 30 minutes, maybe an hour before we did the pod tonight, Nintendo tweeted out that we are going to be getting Donkey Kong Country on SNES Online for Nintendo Switch next week. So you can play that if you have that membership. Also coming out, Natsume Championship Wrestling and The Immortal for NES. So that has been our news for the week.
Okay, well, awesome news. Mr. Nice Guy, thank you for bringing so many news stories that were right up my alley. I feel like...
I do what I can.
I mean, gaming news always speaks to me, dude, but this one especially spoke to me, and thanks for that.
Not a problem.
Bring in the heat, and I'm just going to have to try to keep things going with video game history, a look into the past, what happened this week in years before, and I have to start with a bombshell, because it was 2 years ago that Nintendo put Night Trap on the Switch, thereby breaking their under oath promise to the United States Congress that Night Trap and games like Night Trap would never appear on any Nintendo console. I just reminding everyone, Nintendo breaking oaths made before United States Congress. But I'm not bitter. In 2016, we saw the release of Pokemon Go this last week. I mean, what an absolute game changer Pokemon Go was. Now, obviously, we had had, what was it? Insurgency? Was that the title of it?
What do you mean?
So Niantic, the company that was responsible for powering Pokemon Go, they basically repurposed the tools that they had built for the mobile game Insurgency. Oh, that's it. Thanks, Mets Girl. It was Ingress. Ingress was the name of it. But anyway, Pokemon Go, what a wonderful game that's pushed the boundaries in so many ways for both trespassing and decency laws.
And driving with a phone in your hand as well.
And driving with a phone in your hand. So many delightful lawsuits that we would not have had. So many dummies of the week that we would not have had without Pokemon Go. The last thing that I want to highlight from for video game history is Dragon's Lair, the arcade video game experience released in 1983. So, Dragon's Lair has made its way into the public zeitgeist through a whole bunch of different ways. I mean, Don Bluth doing the animating, which of course All Dogs Go to Heaven, and Secret of Nim. Basically all the things that gave you childhood trauma thinking that, you know, you were going to watch it and it was going to be great and it turned out to be terrifying. Yeah, that's Don Bluth, and also Dragon's Lair. But it was the first, going to put a little asterisk there, Laserdisc game, because it had a Laserdisc player, it played off the Laserdisc, and, you know, and so on. Now, the first little, that little asterisk there, we're gonna pull out that pin. It was not the first ever made, because in 1982, there was a tech demo showing a game called Astron Belt, that apparently influenced the idea to, hey, we can put Dragon's Lair on a Laserdisc. We can actually make that work. It'll be perfect, because what we're going for here is a full motion video. And at the time, Laserdisc would have been the only real way to do that full motion, or in this case, animation, but that full animated video to do it smoothly like that. This was the technology that allowed, back in 1983, to make that happen for really the first time. And even though the tech demo preceded it and was actually released as a full-fledged game in Japan, over here in the United States, Dragon's Lair made it to U.S. markets first. So that's why I say the first Laserdisc game, gotcha. You know, because that's the one that actually made it there. Now, the cost to buy a machine was $4,300. So if you, Mr. Nice Guy, you were running the Nice Guy Arcade and you wanted one of these back then in 1983, it would have cost you, you know, $4,300, which is about roughly $11,000 today.
Unbelievable. That's a lot of quarters to break even.
Well, and I'm glad that you mentioned quarters, because back then it cost 50 cents in order to play the game, right?
Okay, yep.
Which today would be about $1.25. And to put it into some contextual things, in 1983, 50 cents was about the cost of a hamburger. So every time you wanted to keep trying and playing, Dragon's Lair, every time you failed, it was about a hamburger to play. So you know, not an insubstantial amount, although it certainly was a fantastic revenue generator for arcades. These are one of those arcades that they had lines going out the door, those kinds of things for Dragon's Lair. So yeah, I mean, iconic. And just while I'm throwing out there the last little interesting things about Dragon's Lair, There was a few years ago, back in 2016, Don Bluth crowdfunded a prequel film to Dragon's Lair. It was going to be sort of this prequel thing, and Netflix is apparently set to publish said Dragon's Lair prequel sometime in the next coming years. So, yeah. If you remember one thing about This Week in History, remember Dragon's Lair, remember Laserdisc, and remember all those hamburgers that children gave up in order to play video games. Children going hungry to play and try and beat Dragon's Lair. And that is This Week in Video Game History.
Fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the topic of the week, where we discuss something relevant in gaming, the hottest story in gaming, and give our opinion on it. And this one is a doozy, Mac. This one is something that is going to affect every single person who plays video games next gen, regardless of where they are playing, regardless of what types of games they like, and regardless of their political party. I had to think of a third thing, rule of threes. Well, here it is. This is on IGN.com, written by Adam Bankhurst. And it says, NBA 2K21 will release on current generation platforms on September 4th, 2020. Wait for it, guys. Wait for it. It's not all about NBA 2K. And it says, and while it won't arrive on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X until holiday 2020, it is being built from the ground up for the next-gen systems. In addition, all versions of NBA 2K21 will offer a special Mamba Forever edition, blah, 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 blah. But here's where it affects all of us. Furthermore, the standard PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions of NBA 2K21 will cost $69.99 USD, a $10 increase over the current generation platforms that makes the NBA 2K21 the first next-gen game to commit to that price point. And then the UK sees a £5 increase from $59.99 to $64.99. Now, here's the other thing, Mac. NBA 2K21 will not support Xbox Smart Delivery or a similar service on PlayStation 5, meaning there will not be a free upgrade to next gen if you purchase the game on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. So, that's a lot to unpack, but let me give everyone a quick explanation and then I would love to see your thoughts in the chat and I'd love to hear Maxion's thoughts. Effectively, we're going to see a $10 increase in the cost of our games come next generation, and I believe this will go to PC as well. The other thing is, Xbox had implemented a system, or plans to implement a system, where if you buy a game on Xbox One S, this gen's hardware, and that game releases on next gen's hardware, you get the next gen version for free. That's Xbox Smart Delivery. But we have just heard that that is not going to apply to NBA 2K21, which leads me to believe there could be other games that it will apply to as well. Mac, this is a huge thing. Let's start with the price. What do you think about the price increase?
This saddens me because even though I'm not going to be the type of person who's paying $60, $70 at launch for a video game, I'm waiting a little while for it to go on sale and in the meantime playing my backlog because baby got backlog, as you so aptly pointed out last time.
That's right.
But I will say that I feel sad for those people who are buying them at launch, because that 10 extra dollars, I mean, that's a lot. That's a, oh gosh, what kind of percentage is that? That's a 15 or so percent increase.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a big boost.
Yeah, so let's talk about this a little bit more, because we're getting awesome thoughts in the chat. And I want to acknowledge some of them. Ish Mobile says $10 increase makes sense. They've been the same price for a long time. And that is an excellent point. And that is one of the things I was going to discuss in my notes that I have here. And Mets Girl says $10 is a lot. But if people will buy it, sure, whatever. I'm not buying it. And I see exactly where she's coming from. Here's the thing, Mac. We have been conditioned. Mets Girl, me, you, Ish Mobile, everyone who plays games, we've all been conditioned that a new game costs $60. And we have been conditioned that way over multiple console generations. The gaming industry has had every opportunity to implement some type of inflation and start charging more for these games. And now that they are doing it, many, many people are frustrated, right? Because we're so used to paying different prices. Now, I kind of want to take a different stance. I am not happy about the price increase, but I understand where they are coming from. One, because we're not playing games like we used to, right? They are hiring professional voice actors, they're doing motion capture, they're hiring some of the best writers in the business to work on these games. And so I know that costs have gone up, right?
Now, I will say that Galvatron and Spenis both bring up kind of two different points that I think are worth highlighting. Galvatron said, I have no problem with the $10 price hike if they were to cut DLC and loot boxes. Fat chance.
Okay, that's a good point.
And Spenis, I'm a really big fan of Smart Delivery, but I'm not enthused with this practice for going through and getting the new generation's game at a larger cost and wallet gouging, as they will also market the heck out of it, and then the loot box my team mode may giving them their real money.
Yeah, he brings up really valid points. Now, I will say this, Spenis. It did say in the article that NBA 2K21 for next gen is going to be built from the ground up. So who knows what that means, if it's a totally different game, quote unquote, totally different game, or if it has additional features, additional modes. Maybe that's why they're not doing smart delivery. Maybe that's why it costs more. But I believe this sets a precedent that all of the games we're going to see next gen are going to cost $69.99 at launch. Now, Mac, here's where I take a little bit of a different stance.
Mm-hmm.
Gaming has given me a lot, right? Gaming has given me so much, and I know it's given you a lot too. And I'm not just talking about it being a refuge, right, from the day-to-day stresses and monotony that many of us deal with in different areas. I have a fantastic life, but gaming is a great release. At the end of the day, I can sit down, I can go to fake worlds, and I can enjoy myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's given me so much from a value perspective as well. I mean, my backlog right now is ridiculous. You know, just a combination of, you know, games that I picked up on the cheap, games that are on Xbox Game Pass, games that are on Nintendo Switch Online, games that have come through Xbox Live and PlayStation online. It there's just so much that I've gotten, Mac. You think about a game like Skyrim. That game is hundreds of hours of entertainment if you want to do everything, and it was $60 at launch. And so I actually believe, and I know people are not going to agree with me, I believe we've been underpaying for games for a really long time. The amount of value that we get from many of them versus what we're paying is not really in line. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and you're right. We did pay $60 for Skyrim at launch, and then $40 for Skyrim at launch, and then $20 for Skyrim at launch, and then at launch and launch and launch. Sorry, I had to get that jab in, but no, I mean, your point is definitely there. There's a lot of value, a lot of time added in a lot of these games, and we are getting the entertainment dirt cheap in a lot of ways for these games. And maybe we should reconsider what we think that price is. It just is always going to hurt when we have a 15%+ jump in a game, you know, or in general game prices at launch. It's never not going to hurt us in the pocketbook. But, you know, especially if there's a lot of good in the game and a lot of content, I mean, I don't think that you'll have much problem with people paying for it.
No, you're exactly right. And we got some awesome points in the chat from multiple people, and I want to acknowledge them. Galvatron says, gaming should have variable pricing. Skyrim and GTA 5 should not be the same price as Vanquish. Mac, that is a brilliant point. Games that are 60 hours plus, hundreds of hours plus, they just shouldn't be the same price as games that are 15 hours. I mean, even if they're both AAA titles, that just should not be the case, right? But who is it? Who makes that decision is the thing, right? Because the reality is, what if people hadn't liked Skyrim and they put it out for $70 or $80 and said, well, the reason we're charging more is because you get so much more out of it. And people played it and they were like, actually, this game is trash. So maybe you should have charged $30 for it. You know, you never know. Like, there's so many factors that go into it. Metzgirl says Skyrim is worth $60, but a game that comes out every year, I believe she's referencing NBA 2K, and that is a very valid point. I agree with her 100%. A game that comes out every year probably shouldn't be costing that much. And then Ish Mobile says, where's his comment? He says, I'm with Mr. Nice Guy. Maybe the extra $10 can go to hire more developers and relieve some crunch. And Mac, that's an important point as well, because so many games that we see today are pushed back. And they're not pushed back for free, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're definitely not.
So, well, cool. I mean, that's really what I had. I'll say this. I will unhappily pay the $70 for games that I really, really want to play at launch. And that's maybe a couple games a year that I see the need to pay at launch. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'll wait for a price break.
And I hope it comes. I do hope it comes.
But I do too. And I apologize. Can I make like one more point?
No,
on this?
Make all the points you want, man.
So a couple more points. Number one is another reason we've been conditioned that we should not have to pay more for games is because we're getting a lot of stuff that is free to play. Like a ridiculous amount of stuff that's free to play. Arguably, the most popular game right now is Fortnite, and it is free to play. Call of Duty released a battle royale that is free to play. DC Universe Online, once upon a time, and probably still, not that it's as popular anymore, but free to play. I mean, there's so much free to play stuff that now when people are asked to pay for stuff, I feel like they kind of turn their nose up at it. And then the last point that I'll make is we see so many sales that it has conditioned us to think that we're entitled to good pricing. Cyberpunk 2077 is potentially going to be one of the best games released this year. A lot of people are hyped for it. PC, Xbox, PlayStation. And guess what? If you go on Amazon right now, that game can be pre-ordered for $49.99. $10 discount. And I have no idea why. And it's made by the people who made The Witcher 3, so you know it's going to be a great game. But for some reason, it's discounted before it even comes out and everyone's hyped for it. So I think it's a conditioning thing, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next gen. Mac, those are my thoughts. That has been our topic of the week.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for participating. Thanks, Mr. Nice Guy, for that topic. How about we take a look at somebody who's trying to get their project off the ground in a thing we call Kick or Kickstart? We're going to show you all a crowdfunding project. We're going to talk about some of the virtues, some of the vices, and at the end we're going to say whether or not we think it should be kickstarted or whether it should be kicked out of here. So I've just barely put a link in the chat for everybody. This is a little thing called Conscript, a World War I survival horror, billed as Resident Evil and Silent Hill meet in the trenches of the First World War. We've got a fellow by the name of JD out of Melbourne, Australia, and he felt like that the World War I area, the World War I period of time, is a perfect spot for survival horror, and was kind of sad that he didn't see quite as much going on with it. Some important things to note: they're looking for about $20,000 to get this off the ground. It's a $17 buy-in for the game with a delivery sometime in May 2021. It currently has 8 days left to go, and it's more than halfway to its goal.
Whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa. Oh, living on a prayer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Don't come after us, Bon Jovi. So it does, as you can see, just right from the beginning, but even before you click play on the trailer for it, it says play the demo. And these are the kinds of things that we need before the story text actually gets there. You can play the demo on Steam, play the demo on itch.io. Okay, so, you know me, I do have a soft spot in my heart for Resident Evil 2, but only because of the history behind it. I am not usually a survival horror person, and this is no different, but like you said very well, Mr. Nice Guy, we can't just rest on that. We gotta take you know, some more time. So I grabbed the demo. I played it on Steam. I put a little bit of time into it. It is legitimately heart-pounding for me. It is scary. I got
really
scared. Yes, I did. The music is creepy. The limited viewpoint, because they're doing this sort of isometric viewpoint, and just the feeling of not knowing. Anytime you can limit a view, things get more and more scary, and there are some moments where you'll be moving, and the camera will kind of like hang and then rubber band back up to where you are, but there's that moment where it's not coming and you can hear like some breathing, and it's legit kind of scary. And I was not good at this game. I did not get all the way through the demo because I'm garbage at it, but it's well done. There were some frustrating things, like I felt like the pistol was nowhere near as powerful as it ought to have been. But still, it was good stuff. Overall, it was enjoyable to play, as long as I get over the not liking survival horror, you know, genre in general.
Sure, yeah.
But there was just so much stuff going on in the background, like scattered screams, mustard gas, and just things everywhere. This is not a family-friendly Kickstarter. It's not a family-friendly game. It is scary, and I was scared. But it does take its cues from things like Resident Evil. You've got save rooms. One thing that is a bit different, a bit more Silent Hill-ish, is a map that you've got access to, which makes, you know, finding your way around a little bit easier. The combat is rough and very visceral.
Does it have Metroidvania elements at all?
No, it does not have Metroidvania elements at all.
Okay.
At least not that I could tell.
Gotcha.
But if in the sense that we're talking about, there are some areas that you can unlock, not so much with more abilities, but with like actually finding the key and unlocking a door.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's about as close to Metroidvania as it gets. The character models are, you know, animated in 3D and then down-resed. Which gives the pixel art sort of an interesting look, and you know me, I quite enjoy my pixel art. Anyway, that's what they're looking at. That's just a quick look into Conscript. Mr. Nice Guy, how does it strike you?
This looks great, dude. And the reason I asked if it had Metroidvania stuff is because it has a map. And a lot of times you really don't need a map if it's, you know, if it's not a Metroidvania, if it's kind of linear or very clear where you're supposed to go. But I like this, dude. This has kind of like a Gauntlet Legends dungeon crawler in World War One style, if that makes sense. That's a mouthful right there. And Gauntlet Legends, one of my favorite N64, one of my favorite arcade games of all time. Now, clearly only in the style is this anything like Gauntlet, but it gives me that vibe, and I like that. I actually like the pixelation because I don't feel like everything needs to be super great graphically. And I like what this guy's doing with his Kickstarter. He has a lot of artwork. He has a lot of videos. He has a really, like, to the point explanation of the story and what is happening. And he doesn't force you to read so much that you don't want to give him your money. So I like the way that he has this set up. I'm impressed with this, and I'm kind of surprised that he's only halfway to his mark so far.
Yeah, me too. This probably ought to have been funded by now already. And I encourage any of you, like I said, I'm not a big survival horror person, just with some, you know, some very specific circumstances notwithstanding. But I quite enjoyed this. Give it a shot. I encourage all of you to give it a shot and, you know, and just go from there. But now's the time. We've got to say, kick or kickstart. And those of you who are here with us, let us know. I've seen a few votes already. I say kickstart, even though it's not my cup of tea. This, you know, this is something that that I absolutely think is well done and deserves to be funded.
I say kickstart, and I'm going to say, usually I really, really get frustrated when these types of games are not on the Switch, but I don't know if this one is really a fit for the Switch. I feel like just because of the vibe that it gives off, I feel like it's more of a fit for the PC or for the other consoles. So I'm kind of happy to see that he's only doing this on Steam, and I think that $17 is reasonable, so I say kickstart.
Okay, we've got a kickstart from Rolf, we've got a kickstart from Ish Mobile, you and I are both Kickstarters, are on Kickstart. We do see a kick in the chat, but overwhelmingly, it looks like most of us think that this is something we should go for. So JD, good on you, man. I mean, you know, well played. I think you've put something good together here, and we hope for your success. So yeah, thanks everybody. Kick or kickstart. Thanks for participating.
Fantastic. Well, now it is time for a trivia segment we like to call Nerd Flex. Woo-hoo. A segment where you, the viewer, try to stump the host and or we come up with some questions of our own. Now, Mac, do you have a quick announcement you'd like to make?
I do. So we're trying to space it out so that once a month we have the sound test episodes that include a secret sound from video games. And it's your task to, on Twitter, get back to us, tweet at @2NerdsInAPod with the hashtag soundtest and the episode number, in this case 147, and let us know what that sound is. And if you are correct, you'll get a Perler. You'll get like this little Metroid inside of a capsule, or this Kirby, or maybe even this Celeste strawberry. Who doesn't need Celeste strawberries? So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and play that sound test. And, well, good luck. You'll need it.
Distract unsuspecting enemies with your D20, nerd.
Good luck, everybody. Hopefully you know what it's from.
Cool. So once again, and I should be better about getting these questions in advance, but if anyone here live wants to ask a question in the chat, multiple choice, or just a question with no choices, let us know. And we will try to answer that question and get it right. But Mac, I have a couple questions dialed up and ready to go. Here's the first one based on Konami. Who is the final boss in Konami's The Simpsons arcade game?
Now
this is one that I should know, because Simpsons arcade game, one of the first arcade games I ever played as a kid. Have you ever played it?
I want to say that I played it once or twice, but I never got that far in it.
Okay.
I feel like there can be only one final boss, and that has to be Mr. Burns.
Well, here's the thing. I think you might be right, but I also remember at the beginning of the game, it's like Maggie is kidnapped, right?
Yeah.
Like there's some people who have like this diamond and it falls into her mouth or something, and then they kidnap her, and then you're trying to find them, and you're like fighting secret agents along the way that are like these thug guys. But also I think that there was like an evil scientist. So I think that it's either like one of the secret agents that you're trying to beat or the mad scientist. So I'm going to go with the mad scientist. And you're going to go with Mr. Burns, I assume?
Yeah, yeah. And just by guess and by golly, I have nothing to go off on that.
That's okay. We're going to get this one wrong, but we gave it a good shot. We talked through it, just like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Let's see what the answer is. Dude! Maxion! Ooh, that was loud. You might have to edit that down in post. You were right. It was Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns. Well, there is only one villain of the Simpsons franchise, right?
That's true. Well, there's, I don't know. I mean, you could argue that there's other villains, but...
That was just a guess. But
it's been so long.
At the very least, you know, we're not going to get clean swept.
That's exactly right.
So I do see that Galvatron's put one in the chat for us.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'll go ahead and read that one. The question is, in the X-Men arcade beat-em-up game, we're talking beat-em-up games today, name the six X-Men that you could play as. And I'm...
This is a good question.
It is a good question. And I feel like there's two obvious ones. There has to be Cyclops and Wolverine, because like those are the favorites. I feel like in every X-Men game, you always had the options of Wolverine and Cyclops. And if this is the game that I think it is, I feel like Beast and Psylocke were also on there.
Beast was definitely not.
Beast was definitely not? Okay.
Let me tell you the ones I know. Yeah, Cyclops, Wolverine. Uh-huh. I know you could play as Nightcrawler.
Okay.
And I'm writing these down just because I'm visual. I know you could play as Colossus.
Okay.
And then there was a girl. I don't think it
That's
was...
That's Psylocke.
Was it it's not Jubilee. Is it Psylocke?
It's gotta be Psylocke.
Okay. And then who was the other
one? Was it Gambit?
No, I don't think so. Dang it.
Iceman?
Yes! I believe it was.
Okay.
I believe it was Iceman.
Okay, so Iceman. So this is what we're going with. We're going with Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Psylocke, Iceman.
Yeah, let us know in the chat if that is correct. I feel confident about that.
You know, I feel confident in you, Mr. Nice Guy. So, I mean, I feel good about this. Ah, we got it right, dude.
He says we got it wrong. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said no because we got it right.
Yeah, I think this is one of those where it's a
Dope.
Where it's a no because we got it right.
That was a really good question too.
That was, I thought for sure we were gonna lose it.
It was a team effort.
Yeah, it was. This is truly in the spirit of Nerdflex. So thanks, Galvatron.
Yeah, well, Ishmobile.
Ishmobile was the next one with them. And I think we'll do this third one and then we'll leave. And Spenis, sorry, save that question for next time. I promise you I'm not going to look at it so that we can take that one next time. When did Valve first feature the Open Your Mind logo with the Valve coming out of the bald man's head? A, 2004 for Half-Life 2. B, 2007 with the orange box, C, 1998 for the original Half-Life, or D, 2020 in Half-Life Alyx. Now, I do know that I saw the, you know, the open your mind, the Valve and the bald man's head, that sort of opening screen. I know I saw it in Left 4 Dead. So it had to have been well before 2020.
Yep. I know I saw it on the orange box. That's 2007.
Did you? Okay, yeah. So that's 2000, that'd be 2007 if we saw it in the orange box. And orange box would be Portal and Half-Life 2 Episode 2, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
Team Fortress.
Team Fortress 2.
So the only question is, I don't think I remember seeing it in 1998. So the question is, are we talking 2004 or 2007? We've narrowed it down to A and B. Sh- 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 sh-
I mean, I know it was 2007, but the question is, was it also in Half-Life 2? That's
yeah.
what it comes down to.
So it's either B or A. I feel like the answer is A.
Yeah, I do too. Just because I feel like you should go with the earliest. You know what I mean? The earliest answer.
Well, the earliest answer is 1998 for the original Half-Life.
Yeah, except we kind of eliminated that one.
Yeah, it's true. So we're going to go with A. Ishmael will get back to us. And
yeah,
it looks like we might have to issue a retraction. According to Galvatron, the options were Cyclops, Colossus, Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Storm, and Dazzler.
Dang it. So we were not right.
Yeah, so it looks like we were not right. And it looks like we also got Ishmobile's incorrect because it was the orange box.
Dude, I should have gone with my gut. Oh,
should have gone with your gut. Well, at the very least, we got one question right. Even though we were certainly feeling like we were on a roll, turns out we were wrong.
And
so,
shout out to Mets Girl. She said, I thought Storm was in that game. And then he said, yep, Storm was in that game. So we missed a few on the X-Men question.
So We did. We missed a couple. Although we did get 4 out of 6, so that's something. We at least got partway there.
Yeah. Well, that's been Nerd Flex for the week.
All right. Well, now let's do a little bit of legalese. So the law and video games, they have a lot more in common than you might think sometimes. And I have to give a quick flash subject here on, in the UK recently, the House of Lords called for an immediate classification of loot boxes as gambling. They in essence said, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Loot boxes in video games are gambling. We know this has gone back and forth a lot in the United States, and because I am a man on a mission, we're going to go for something slightly different, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. So I said earlier we were going to dedicate July as much as we could to the concept of how real is too real, and today we're going to talk about people, specifically name, image, and likeness. Personality rights. It boils down to name, image, and likeness. The name, obviously, your name, Mr. Nice Guy. That's your name or your handle. Your image and likeness, what you look like, you know, the visual image of an individual in any visual presentation. And now, something to keep in mind is that in the United States, publicity rights, which is what these things come down to, do come down to a state-by-state thing. With that being said, who can use your name, image, and likeness, and how? Well, after 1979, in the case Lugosi v. Universal Pictures, and yes, that is Bela Lugosi of old vampire fame, the answer was you, until you die, and then no one. And furthermore, no one can have your permission until after you die. That was a back and forth between the estate of Bela Lugosi and Universal Pictures. But that's outside the scope of this right now. And then in 1985, it changed to you, Mr. Nice Guy, and whomever you authorize. And depending on the state, that could last for the next 100 years. So, Mr. Nice Guy, you could say, hey, the Nice Guy name, image, and likeness can go with my estate, with the Nice Guy estate, and it'll be there for the next 100 years, and they can profit off of it. It is noteworthy that the great majority, even though it varies state to state, the great majority of precedent cases come from the state where, obviously, image is everything. That would be California. So most of the precedent law comes from various lawsuits back and forth between things. But I'm going to bring it around to video games because this is a video game podcast. So we're going to talk real quick Jim Brown v. Electronic Arts. See, we made it not only to video games, but also to sports ball, just for you, Mr. Dice Guy.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
You got it, man. So the issue here was that EA did not get authorization from him to use his name, image, and likeness. Not so much that they didn't get permission to use his name, image, and likeness, but his argument was that they were using his name, image, and likeness to imply that he was endorsing a product. Specifically, that he was endorsing EA's football video game. The face-off between that went back and forth, but the conclusion wound up being that even though his appearance was in the game, it was not explicitly misleading to consumers. Had it been something like EA presents Brown 2020, like a Madden game or something, that would have been different. different, and the win went to EA Games. So, name, image, likeness, who you are as a person, it is important to you. It's also, to some extent, important to the courts. But again, as a state-by-state basis, it can kind of go either way, whichever you're doing it. That's just been a little bit of legalese, and that's our show. But first, we need to talk about what we've been watching and what we've been playing. And Mr. Nice Guy, what have you been playing?
Dude, I've been... Can I talk about both or just one this week, man? I've been watching and playing stuff.
Oh,
man.
Why don't you do them both, sir?
So let's see. Let's start with watching, because I've been watching a lot of good stuff. I've been watching Hamilton on Disney Plus, and I will say this. It is phenomenal. I understand that we all have different opinions, but I don't get how people did not at least respect the brilliance of the play. I thought it was great, and I'm really enjoying it. We're actually only about halfway through. We got to intermission, and my wife and I are loving it. I've also been watching a show that my good friend Maxion recommended to me called Gallivant. And it's pretty much the perfect show. It's very, very funny. It's very, very well written. And the acting is solid, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm only three episodes in, but can't wait to watch some more of it. And still almost done with that Hunger Games run that my wife and I have been doing. And I think that that is it for watching. Now, as far as playing goes, Mac, I did finally finish The Last of Us Part 2 last week. And I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to spoil it. But I think it is definitely a Game of the Year candidate. And I will say that the storytelling is pretty much unparalleled in gaming. It's a game that teaches us so many messages, and I almost want to do like a side episode where I just kind of talk about how good it is, but I don't want to spoil stuff for people right now. And what else? Oh, and after I finished The Last of Us Part 2, I started playing Red Dead Redemption 2. And of course, I've gotten a little bit of Valorant and some Teamfight Tactics in. And Mac, how about you, man? What have you been into?
So for me, I haven't been playing too much, but I did finish off Halo Master Chief Collection's version of Halo 2.
Nice.
I was playing some Broforce, and I also was playing that Conscript, that Kickstarter demo. As for watching, Mrs. The Mac and I, we've been watching The Office. She's been going through the later seasons that she didn't get a chance to see, you know, earlier on. Basically, those last several. And Avatar: The Last Airbender. Always a good time for The Last Airbender.
Can I ask you, in relation to The Office, did you know that the actor who plays Stanley, Leslie, I forget his last name, has started a Kickstarter?
Yeah, to do a spinoff about Stanley.
Yeah.
I did hear about that. I could go either way.
Yeah, I will stay silent, but I just wanted to make sure you were aware of it.
Yes, I definitely was. And thanks for making sure I was apprised. But that's it for us. Tell you what, I'll go through and hit the watching. So let's see.
Looks like Uncle Ruckus is the first one.
Yeah, watching King of the Hill and Letterkenny. Letterkenny is an acquired taste, but it is funny. Let's see, Ishmobile with Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, and Hamilton. And Gallivant, you guys are simpatico on this.
Fantastic.
Let's see. Spenis is watching The Floor is Lava. That's a new Netflix thing. I tried to watch it. Wasn't my thing. Pokemon Journeys, The Challenge. Up, Up, Down, Down, and Uno Games. Let's see. Metzgirl is also watching Hamilton. Watching The Mandalorian, This is the Way. And watching Firefly. Let's see. Galvatron's watching bad movies. Bloodshot, Onward, a terrible Pixar movie. And
oh, stop it.
And
stop
Rambo
it.
Last Blood. You know what you have to add on? So The Disaster Artist, which is a movie about the making of The Room, well worth it. It's great. And it's on Netflix now. So watch The Disaster Artist. Mr. Nice Guy, what are the people playing?
I just can't believe that he said Onward is a terrible movie. Like, that movie gave me all the feels, man. As a father, that movie was great. Anyway, Ruckus has been playing Apex, SpongeBob Rehydrated, and Gears 5. Good choices. Love Gears 5. Really good on PC. Great graphics. Ishmobile has been playing Insurgency, Sandstorm, and Spelunky. Spenis, what is he doing? We're getting out of order. I'm trying to find what other people are playing. Oh, Metzgirl has been playing Ticket to Ride, Savage Worlds, and GURPS, as have we all, because we're playing in a group together. And okay, I'm just scrolling through here trying to see. All right, Galvatron's playing The Last of Us Part 2. He says, don't like it, and I'm forcing myself to get to the end. You know what? I'm just going to stop reading Galvatron's commentary because he always can't just answer the question. He has to give his own thoughts, which we actually appreciate. Zelda Breath of the Wild for Galvatron, Mario Kart 8, Resident Evil 3. Bloodstained, he says, is brilliant as well. Where's Spenis? I thought Spenis had said what he was playing. Did I miss it? Oh, he says Last of Us Part 2, mostly an MLB The Show. So that's it, Maxion. That was nice. A bad reading on my part, but that's what people have been playing.
It was all good. Thanks, everybody, for sharing, because, you know, once Mr. Nice Guy and I are done with what we're currently working through, we need these suggestions so that we've always got something good. You guys are our recommendation thing. Some people check Rotten Tomatoes. We check the chat of the live show. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to episode number 147. Remember to please go vote for us for the Podcast Awards. Mac, where can they do that? Did we say the website already?
So it is podcastawards.com. You yep. do have to click on the, you know, there's the slightly smaller button to nominate a show. So you click on that one, you sign in. And also, if you do sign in, you can opt into or out of consideration to be on the final panels that decide. So you're welcome to do that as well. But go, get out, vote for us again. We only need to be in the top 10 of games and hobbies to be considered by the final final panels. So we just need to be in the top 10 of a popularity contest. That's easy.
Exactly it. That's all it takes, man. It's just like high school, except we're not in high school anymore.
Exactly. High school never ends. Bowling for Soup. Good song.
That's right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys are the best viewers on Twitch, on iTunes, and everywhere else you listen. Please tune in next week. Same bat place, same bat time, same bat rhymes. Keep it nerdy, y'all. Deuces.
See ya.